Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 556. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me back from the Big Apple, chilling out Manhattan, Madison Square Garden, UFC 322. And you brought that cold weather with you, bro. What'd you do that for? It's cold here in Las Vegas.
Bro, like, it was funny, because after I left, I think it dropped, like, 8 or 10 degrees there. I was like, well, glad I got out of there, because I brought a nice, like, outdoorsy sort of jacket, but I didn't bring the normal layers.
Not that
heavy
cold.
I got there, I was like, oh, did I mess up by not bringing the, because normally I would layer something over top of this, and I didn't. I was like, please, weather, don't get there. But yeah, I saw it got colder after we left, and I got back here, and I was like, oh, this feels good. Like, this to me feels good.
It's funny. My wife is like, Walker, my wife is definitely adapted to Las Vegas weather, because she's like, I hate this. We live in Las Vegas, not the Arctic Circle. You know
Arctic
what I mean?
Arctic Circle. Yeah. Oh, my,
like,
God.
It's like 62 degrees out. No, it's actually a little colder. We're dipping down in the 50s a little bit. It's a
and
little
a night,
chilly.
Yeah, I think last night maybe got into the 40s or something.
Yeah.
So, well, but we've had that precipitation there, and I think that's why now we're getting a weirder sort of, like, swing.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was like, is this our second monsoon season of the year? Like, what's going on?
Did you see the video I posted on social media driving down the strip?
That
was actually pretty, that was pretty funny. So my mom came in town, and so we were running around for a couple days. Like, we went to Monday Night Football, which was cool. It was my kid's first NFL game. The Cowboys
spanked them,
dude. Looked really good.
Boy, the Raiders are just rough.
Raiders are a rough team right
now.
Not that the Cowboys
I was happy. I know the Cowboys aren't doing so great either, but I was happy for you, because I was like, wow, that's awesome. Your mom's here. You took everybody there.
So it was a really good time. My mom had a good time. You know, and again, my kid's first NFL game live, and it was the Cowboys and the Raiders, so that was cool. So that's why we picked that game. It seemed like the perfect time to go. I will say, especially in the midst of all this fight-fixing allegations and discussions.
Yeah.
I don't know if you followed this or not, but there was a guy sitting behind me. And there were a couple people that were around us that all got burned by this, right? But the guy sitting behind me got burned bad. He had a six-leg parlay that the first five legs had already hit.
Yep.
The last leg was the game total, and he had to be over 49.5. Well, if you watched the full game, and you might not have, because it wasn't competitive at the end, we stayed all the way to the end.
Yeah, no,
the
I turned
first
it off
time.
Before the end of it.
So yeah, it was locked up, but we were like, hey, we're here, let's stay here.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
What's the use in rushing out, getting stuck in traffic? Yep. It's kid's first game. Let's stay. So we stayed the whole way. Well, the Cowboys had the ball late, and they had like a wide open player. I can't remember the receiver that it was. I don't remember if it's Pickens or somebody else. But anyway, just dropped a wide open ball. I mean, literally was wide open, end zone right in front of him, and he just dropped the ball. So they didn't score there, right? So the Raiders get the ball back. Raiders get held to, you know, they have to go for it on fourth down. They're losing by so many points. They give the ball back to the Cowboys because they go four and out. And the Cowboys have the ball within like the 10-yard line of the Raiders, and they just kneeled it four times. Now, I mean, not that you would. I mean, obviously the victory formation, kneeling, you know, not that you wouldn't do it. But it was funny because the way the time worked, I'm like, even if you kneel it on fourth down, you're still going to have to give the Raiders the ball back. So at that point, don't you just go ahead and kick a field goal or something?
Yep.
And they didn't. So anyway, so they kneeled it all
fixed.
Four times. And the game total finished at 49 points, and he had to have over 49.5. So the guy behind me loses his 16 parlay on that. There was another dude that was next to us as well. The same thing. They were like, when the guy dropped the ball and then when they kneeled it four times, they're yelling, fix, fix. Now, do I think it was – I do not personally. You know, I'm very much a non-conspiracy theory kind of guy. But it was just interesting to see, because once you start to see, like, once the little allegations, then all of a sudden you can start looking at everything, and you can start reverse engineering and be like, oh, he clearly did this, he clearly did that, you know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. So I thought that was wild, given all the stuff that's kind of happening in our fair sport right now.
So, I mean, I can see it. I mean, it's even if you're blowing them out and you're like, oh, it just wouldn't be fair. Like, bro, that was college football.
Right.
You see a lot of times teams would do like that. But in pro,
like, hey, we don't need to run up the score on them. Yeah. Have some class
or
whatever.
It's not like you're just tearing through everybody. Like, you want to feel like, guys, we came in here and we kicked butt. Like, just smash them, grind them into the ground. Like, if you got the ball that close, just put points on the board.
Because technically, if you go back and watch it, like the end of like the fourth down where they kneel it to give it back to them, there's still like 20 seconds left in the game. Now, the officials to that point, they didn't even make the Raiders run a play. They just let the clock run off. But it was like, if you just turn the ball over with 20 seconds left, like there's still 20 seconds. Like you have to run a play or something, and they didn't.
That's the thing. Just try to run a play and just get the clock going. Like it was, it's shady.
Yeah, it was interesting. So finish for it. So anyway, so we did that. That was fun. then the next day, go through all that, talk about the rain that we got. We got a lot of rain. It doesn't rain here very much. Yeah, a lot of rain, but it was kind of cool because we were running around town. Showing my mom some things and just kind of hanging out with the day. Actually, I took my kid out of school on Tuesday just because his grandmother's not here very often. You know what I mean? So we let him skip school and we ran and had lunch and took her to the where we were driving. When I posted that video, we were driving actually to the F1 arcade over at Caesar's Palace.
You're all about that thing. I know Eli likes it.
Yeah, that F1 arcade is cool. By the way, if you happen to be coming to town, and I mean it's not cheap, but it's a really nice place.
What's it cost?
I think like for an hour, it's like $40 or something. So that part's not super expensive, but the drinks and stuff, like the drinks are straight up like, strip prices, like $20 a cocktail or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can have like one.
Pass.
My mom had a Bloody Mary. I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm just going to have a water. Like, I ain't paying $20 a drink down here. Like, my conscience won't let me do it. But anyway, that's what we were dressed. So we were driving down the strip to get to Caesar's Palace. And the water had built up so much, and we were on. And I whipped out my phone. I'm like, "This is crazy! Like, how many times in life are you going to be driving down an F1 track and there's flooded water on it?" You know. So I thought it was kind of a cool little video. But
yeah, I'm sure those walls didn't help with the drainage, and especially because remember they fused all the all those pipes, and all the manholes and stuff. Anywhere it can drain, I'm sure it's not.
It's
just not draining.
I know you and I. You will not find a local that loves F1 being here, right? Like maybe even if they're the most. I mean, I guess if you're a huge F1 fan, you do.
But I've seen a few that are just like, I love the race when it gets down there. I'm like, well, all right. There's five of you.
The construction is so inconvenient. It's rough, but. The timing of it, man, like all three, like we have gorgeous weather and all 3 years, by the time you get to late November, it's cold here, you know what I mean? And they do the race at night, so it's not like during the day. Like I'm looking outside. If there was a race going on right now, it's nice. It's like 60 degrees outside, but man, you do it at night, you got to have a jacket on out there. It's cold out there. It's been rainy. So I don't know if they've got any flexibility in the schedule to move it around, but
it's still all about the international viewing market. I mean, so like it's always going to be at the mercy of whatever some other international time zone, you know. Yep. So I think it's always either going to be at some crappy little time. I mean, I do understand like some of the things that some of the properties that are close to it are offering, like, because I get notifications of like, oh hey, come look at these F1 testing meals and all these like things at these restaurants, because they'll have like a window that you could view out, and so you could buy these big course F1 course meals or whatever. And I get the people that are getting behind some of that things, and that's the kind of stuff you can't market like, hey, you want a strip view, we're going to charge you this X amount of thing. But if you do it with the F1 or whatever, I can see where certain things are doing it. But for the most part, no. I mean, like, it's always going to be late at night. You know, the fans sit there for hours to watch a car zoom by immediately quick. They're paying overpriced, stuff. And some people just absolutely love it. So, I mean, like, if you are a Rays fan, regardless of whatever it's going to do, I think you're going to like it. So I think the people that live here, they're diehard Rays fans. But it's F1 Rays fans.
Right.
You tell a NASCAR boy about the F1, I think most of them appreciate the fact that it's a car sport,
right?
But most of them are just like, you know, what's with turning all the other directions? You know, we go one direction, we only turn left. You know, but it's just different. I think it's a pricier, fancier clientele. You know, but it's just not marketed for the everyday American.
And not, then, and not if with that those hour, ticket prices.
Yeah. Ooh-wee. And if it's late here, just think about somebody on the East Coast that wants to watch it. They're literally doing like what we give praise to all the
PM.
Europeans.
It'd be starting at 11 p.m.
In the middle of nowhere, just like, you know, trying to watch, and then the event ends, you know, 2 in the morning or something for them or something. It's just like, whatever. But, I mean, I know people coming in town. People do come in town to work the event, you know, so I'm glad that it's bringing people in for whatever. Be nice if the people only lived here since they're the ones mainly affected. But that being said, it'll never be my favorite thing. It's just such a hassle for so long, and I just don't see the payout for the overall.
Either, man. For us as Vegas residents, I don't see that it generates as much revenue. Like when the Super Bowl was here, you could see like the amount of people that were in town. The Strip was just flooded with people, teeming with people, parties everywhere. You could feel the economic impact that was being made.
And
all
you weren't
the restaurants
priced out.
Were full.
I feel like you get priced out for a lot of stuff with the F1 and stuff.
So you're 100% right. My kid is getting into F1. He likes it. I'm not a big F1 fan, but obviously your kid likes something. You want to help support him, right? So we've talked about growing the race. We've actually looked at it. It would actually be cheaper for us as a family to fly to Mexico or Brazil and buy tickets to one of those F1 races, including the hotel, including the flights, including everything.
That's
it
crazy.
Would be cheaper to fly away than to try to buy tickets here.
That's crazy.
Is that not nuts?
That makes no effing sense
in
the world. That's ridiculous.
Well, anyway, that's this weekend. I will be watching on Saturday night.
But it was cool. I mean, in the sense of watching like your rain video,
because
you could see that you definitely saw along the sides. You're like, okay, yeah, that looks like the F1 track, you know. Yeah. So I guess that was kind of cool.
It was funny. I was just driving down the road, and like, I was really just, you know, I'm not like the biggest like content guy or whatever. I was like, this is cool. Like, you're never gonna get a chance to do shit like this. Like, it doesn't even flood that much here in Vegas, and to be flooding in Vegas and to be on the F1
on the
strip,
I think, to call it High Street, but I mean, like, there was excess flooding in other places.
It was
on
it was definitely because of the walls, because obviously it
pins
everything.
It was funny
because my mom was like, would they still race in the rain? I'm like, well, if it was raining a little bit, I mean, they still would, but I'm like, if it was pooling like it was when we were driving that day,
they would just hydroplane right to the wall.
Yeah, hydroplane.
They're so low to the ground, which is just amazing, how the design, but we've seen how, you know, temperamental those vehicles are. Like, they just get tore up if they hit something. I can imagine trying to go that fast and hit a little wall of water, done. There's no way that car is going to go. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly an interesting thing. But yeah, I mean, the cars, it's neat. It's really cool.
It looks
the technology.
Cool.
It
when they're driving 200 miles an hour down the strip at night with all the lights on, it looks cool. I'm not going to lie. When they're driving around the sphere, you know, part of the track goes around the sphere. When they're driving 170 miles down Spring Mountain, which you can barely get to like 20 on because of the traffic that's always there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, well, they had a really cool poster or something I saw on one of their sites, and it was like out on the highway, and you saw Las Vegas way off in the distance. And I was just like, dude, that's where you should go. Like, we could literally you could just let loose, bro. I mean, I know the roads will never be the quality of whatever, but I was like, you know, if you want to really see the backdrop and just see some of the other stuff, and you're not going to affect anybody, just build a fucking track
like
out
just
there.
Just shut down a stretch of I-15 and let them just be, like, running out in the desert out there.
I mean, now it's half the time it's being used, like, as an excess runway when all these planes have been using lately. We've had, like, two or three that have had that happen
land
recently.
On the highway.
I'm just like, so why not? Just use it. It's an all-purpose highway. You know?
That's good, man. All right, last thing was the family stuff. My wife and kid actually went and saw Wizard of Oz at the Sphere.
Wizard of Oz. I was thinking of the Wizard, the movie that's coming out.
For the price of it, that's why I always tell people about the Sphere.
It's not cheap.
So, like, they bought, I think they set in the 200 section for the Wizard of Oz, and it was like $140 a seat.
I was going to say roughly about 150.
Yeah, it's about 140. So this is what I always tell people. If you've never been to the Sphere and you're coming to Vegas and you're looking at it and you're like, if you look at it and you're like, man, $140 to watch a movie, like, can't do it. It's too expensive. Yep. If you look at it as like $140 to buy a ticket to a Vegas show, which you would at a lot of the high-end shows or whatever, then you start to justify a little bit. And it is. To me, it's a Vegas show. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. Obviously, I think my mom was like blown away. Obviously, it was her first time in the Sphere. Danielle has been in the Sphere several times, but even she was like, it was super cool. Because, you know, they have like all the – I'm sure you've seen the social media clips. Like, you know, there's wind blowing when there's a hurricane. And there's like
the apples falling apples down from the tree, and they got the monkeys flying around.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's unique. You're not getting anything like it.
I mean, I guess there is the thing of like when you pay the prices, and I always say like the high end shows down there, you're paying a lot of those prices for all those performers.
Yes.
You know, like that are risking their lives. Are there performers in this? No, but the production value that they took into to do this, and I would just tell people, it's not like you're going and just watching The Wizard of Oz on the sphere. It's been changed right. to fit the sphere, and it's been altered. So it's not going to feel like the exact same movie because right. it's not the exact same movie. There's been parts that have been added, but the general
storyline
is yeah, there, yeah. you know. So you're going for a different Wizard of Oz. Like, don't think you're like, oh man, I'll just wait till it comes out in my movie theater. It's not the same, and they're not just dropping apples. It's a whole different reformatting and sort of a recreation. Even the music, they went back and revisited the music, and so yep. the music that's added was
everything.
Recorded it differently, so it would be, you know, emphasized the best there in the thing. So. It is a production, but you know it is a lot of money. I wanted to really go see it in but yeah, I mean when I looked at the price, I was like, man, even if it was like 99, I think I'd be more inclined to do it. But when you start getting 150, because then I'm thinking like, okay, if I was going to or if I was going to one of the Cirque shows, you're seeing 100 performers on stage. I understand where my dollar is going.
Right.
But
that's
I do
a
know
way
that,
to put it.
You know, the sphere, I know the sphere, you know, like, you know, and you see it every once in a while. As much as the sphere is just one of this
mind blowing
thing,
money.
It's losing money.
Yep.
So I get it. You know, you go and you do these ventures or whatever, you need to make money, you know. So I don't fault them for that, because if they price it too low, they're still never going to make that deficit, you know. And if they're pricing right now and they're still like operating at a loss, you know, I want that to work. I mean, like, I don't think anybody would ever say, I want this sphere to fail.
No.
Like, it's iconic. It's huge. Amazing. It works so well within Vegas. It's such a cool aspect, and it's such a neat thing. So I hope that they kind of shore up those finances. And you know, I'm not sure where the hemorrhaging is, you know. But any new startup like that, you know, you figure there's going to be a loss initially going forward.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's getting better and better and we can see something happen. But yeah, when I think of like Vegas shows, I want to see the production value and I want to see the scale, but I do think I'm more inclined to pay $150 if I know that I see a bunch of theater performers or artisans jumping across the stage, and some of the shit that they do is literally life-threatening. Like,
Cirque du Soleil stuff is amazing.
It's amazing. Like, yep. that, I'm like, they deserve it, yep. you know, like that. So, I don't know. It was just a little tough, but I mean, there, you know, it'd be one thing, too. I think if the Wizard of Oz were like, there's 30 days. You have 30 days to possibly see this. Pay the money, see the show. This is going to be around for a little while,
a
and it
time.
Can always come back. So, I'm like... part of me is holding out that the price comes
down. I get
down.
It, man. I was in the same boat because my wife was like, I bet your mom would love to go. And, like,
yep.
she's never been in the sphere. And so I was like,
and
you know what?
And it's unique. That makes a lot of sense.
That's it.
That.
And so
that's
she,
a special occasion.
So my wife was like, look, I'll pay for my ticket. And I was like, okay, I'll pay for my mom's ticket. But then I was like, you know, Eli didn't really want to go. I'm sure he would if we bought him a ticket. You know what I mean? But
yep.
then I was, but I did. I started thinking about it. Like, eh, for me and Eli, we're only like kind of halfway interested in it to add
yep.
another 320, you know, bucks or whatever. Like, eh.
It's expensive.
Yeah, so we just went and
yeah.
had a beer.
And it's a nice little moment for them. They can kind of go out and
yeah,
just do their
a
little thing. That's
little
good.
Little girls thing. And
little
we had
girls
a,
thing.
Little guys thing. So,
yeah.
so that was good. So I had that going on. Also, man, I my dad had a heart attack. Oh, yeah,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He's okay, man. It was crazy. So my dad's birthday was this past weekend as well, and I was actually trying to stop. When I was going to go to Madison Square Garden, I was actually going to try to stop in Dallas on the way back
yep.
To surprise him, because he had they put
yep.
together like a party for him and everything, because it was his birthday on Monday. So they had a big like barbecue and friends over on
oh,
Sunday.
Shit.
So I was going to try, but bottom line is I couldn't, you know, I ended up canceling my Madison Square Garden trip anyway, but I couldn't find any like flights that weren't like insanely expensive that would allow me to like have a layover in Dallas, like maybe rent
yeah.
a car and run down. I couldn't figure it out. So anyway, I was like, oh man, that's kind of bummed. I didn't make it. But anyway, he had his whole party and everything was great. And he said it was like one of the coolest, like, you know, friends and family and
yeah.
all that. Amazing day. And then that night started having like chest pains.
Chest pains.
Yeah, like real pressure on chest. And I guess he had one of his arteries was blocked like 100%. But they operated on him. Like, they flew him, care flighted him, operated him. Like, he's already back home. That was Monday. Like, he's already back home. You know, obviously recovering a little bit, feeling
yeah.
a little bit, but yeah, so it's been this past, I feel like this past week has been like a month all packed into one, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We had the Madison Square Garden event, and then I had my mom coming in town, and we had the game, and we had all this. But in the midst of that, I find out my dad is hurting, and obviously that hits you hard, and then
yeah.
you know what I mean? All this stuff, and he's good now, thankfully. You know, gonna have some recovery or whatever,
yeah.
but.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Been,
that's good
crazy.
To hear.
Yeah, that's not
good to hear.
I'm fortunate. I still have both my parents, which
yeah.
is fortunate. But Yeah, that's not fun when you start hearing that stuff, man.
No, not at all. I mean, it kind of puts it all into perspective, but man, you got to give it up to modern science and medicine. Like, how can you have a heart attack, full 100% blockage, and then they're like, okay, I think we've observed you enough. You can go home and rest now. Like, really?
I was like, what a blessing that is. Because he lives, like, he still lives in Dallas, but kind of out in the, you know, I wouldn't say the country, but like on the outskirts, right?
They just took him into Dallas, right?
Yes, but so like he literally, so I think, I don't know what to, in fact, I don't even know what time it was, but it was in the evening. I know that. So, it's amazing to, you know, you go to your local hospital. Like, so they went to like their local hospital. The local hospital was like, no, you need to go to the big hospital downtown. Wow. So they care flighted him over there. So, I mean, all that modern technology, you know, here you go, we'll helicopter you over here real quick. And then to have a surgeon on red, which I'm sure they just have him on standby or something.
Yeah, especially on the big, like a big city like that.
Yeah, to have just a surgeon ready to go in the middle of the night. Like, hey, let's throw you up on this table and get this locked down. They put a stent in the artery or whatever and open it up. And they had him observe him for like a day or two just to make sure there was no – but they were like, yeah, you're good to go.
And even some of that stuff, they can go in – like in multiple places. It's not like I think back in the day, you used to always have to either go through the chest or whatever.
Right.
Now they can go in different parts of your body and just run that shit through, and you're just like, how? Isn't
that crazy?
Fucking work?
You know?
But everything's all connected to the fucking heart. You know, it's just, you know, when you think of it like that, you just got to find the closest pathway that's easy, you know, where there's, and I think that's what helps make that recovery quicker, you know, rather than open up his chest,
because you don't have to like open
them up. Yeah, you'd have to open them up, you know, and so now it's unreal if they can either find out what the proper path of the blockage and can we go to that blockage through a different route, you know, and it's just like, I think they either go through like the fucking arm or somewhere else up in your fucking chest or something.
Crazy, man.
But no, I'm glad to hear that. Boy, that kind of puts a dampener on the fucking weekend. That was cool.
It was kind of hard to be like, all right, now let's try to have some fun, you know. But hearing that he was okay, it was one of those ones too. It was weird. I was like, Sunday night, I didn't really sleep that well, and for whatever reason, I was kind of waking up on it long.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, it was like 5 a.m. and I was awake, and my text went off, and it was my stepmom, and she was like, you know, John, give me a call when you can. And just like, it's like one of those ones you just know, you know what I mean? Like, you're getting a text message from your stepmom at 5 a.m. in the morning, like, give me a call when you can. Fortunately, I was up, so I called her right then. But like, just as soon as you saw it, you were just like, I know what this is about. You know what I mean? Like, I know this ain't good.
Yeah, she's not just getting your thoughts on Christmas presents at 5 in the
Hey, yo,
she'll wait.
Looking ahead to Christmas, and I was thinking about putting something.
Has Eli changed much? You know, this is what I'm thinking, you know? Like,
it's not that at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not that at 5 a.m. on Monday morning. Oh, it's so funny. I had a sinking feeling, man. It was he's good now.
That's
good. Better, so.
That's good.
USC 322, we mentioned it. Didn't make the trip out to Madison Square Garden. I know you were out there all week long. Obviously, we won't break down the whole event. I will say it was a weird one, right? Because there was a lot of highlights on the night, right? A lot of really fun fights. Obviously, for me personally and the whole CFSC family, those early prelims were awesome, right?
You guys almost had a clean sweep of the night.
Fatima Klein is going to be a problem.
She's incredible.
At 25 years old, she's going to be a problem.
She's great on the mic.
She's great, right? She's got personality. She's awesome. Pat Sabatini.
Sabatini showed up big.
Showed up big, man. Because I'm telling you right now, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here to say this, there were times where that eye damage that he had at the end of round two would have totally broke his focus, his concentration. You know what I mean? Like, he would get distracted. And I was like, I saw him go back to the stool at the end of round three. And, you know, he protested a little bit. He's like, hey, he stuck his finger in my eye. And obviously you could see it on the replay.
Yep.
But I was like, dude, he's going to lose focus. And he did. And he came back and rebounded hard in third. So that was great. And then Kyle Daukaus, obviously, the return of Kyle Daukaus, incredible.
Kyle Daukaus, I almost feel like we can't even just call him 2.0 because I feel like we've seen him resurge again and again. That was incredible. That was just ridiculous.
That three-pack right in a row of back-to-back-to-back results, by the way, we were having a great time. It was so funny. CM Punk was actually, I guess, free on Saturday night because he started chiming in on our little text message. Sometimes he does something like, but he had no clue that all those guys were fighting. He's like, look, Fatima's fighting, you know? And he's like, wait, Sabatini's next? And then we were like, bro, we got Daukaus after that, too. I'm like, Punk? I was like, it is amazing to me that you can just sit down on a Saturday night, and he's a huge fight fan, you know what I mean? But he's so busy that he doesn't even know what the lineup is. He's just like, well, I'm here. I want to watch me some fights. And it happened to be all the CFSC guys. So that was kind of funny to see that. But then Erin Blanchfield showed up big against Tracy Cortez.
Well,
so
she looked incredible.
She looked amazing. And it was all teeing up towards Sean Brady. And, you know, you and I said going in, and I think you laid it out, man, like that out of the five is definitely the toughest of the bunch by far. Michael Morales, that dude. Dude, I honestly would have no problem with them giving him a title shot next. Like, that dude is good.
To do that to Brady, I mean, I love that Sean wanted to try to throw hands. And he had a couple hands, a couple shots that made sense, but it just takes one for Morales, you know? I mean, and just wish he would have tried to do some level changes there. But, I mean, when you saw the size difference of them, I almost changed my pick right away. I was like, I forgot how big he was compared to most guys in that division. And then I saw it and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give Brady a chance because, man, that dude's just so fucking good. He's just so good. And then I was like, and then as the fight started going, I'm like, okay, he's landing some shots, okay. But then I was like, but there was, you were just waiting for that shot that you knew that could come. And when you did, you were just like, holy cow, dude. Morales, I mean, he's the complete package. I mean, there was a huge Ecuadorian media presence there specifically because
in the media day, in
this
the
kid has every capability of just being huge. He's already getting that, you know, down south of the border.
Yep.
But in the States, I mean, I think people are starting to, you know, he shows up and he's got that big giant pink fur. He's just looking the part. Now you go and put these performances. And now the Spanish-speaking people can understand what he's saying. So that's half of our population right there.
Huge
once he bridges that gap to the English-speaking, people are going to literally be like, Morales, Morales needs the shot, Morales needs the shot. I think they understand what they're getting with him.
Yep.
You know, he just hasn't become as big here as he's going to be. But, dude, I think if anybody had any questions, and a lot of people went to – who had the most? I mean, Carlos Prachez had an incredible performance against a former champ, but a lot of people are like, which did you like better? And that's almost a tough decision, you know? I mean, because Morales was just so clearly better than Brady this night, whereas at least Prachez had a bit of a fight on his hand. You know, but then he was a whole different thing. The faces he was making, you're just like, oh, come on, bro.
The faces he was making as he's in the clinch and getting punched in the head was amazing.
I was just like, oh, don't. I was like, don't showboat too much because you're still have your back taken, buddy.
Yep.
You know, it's like not like he just like hits you while you're standing and you smile and then you hear the announcer like, oh, if he's smiling, you know, it's because he feels him. Like the face was so genuinely like, this is boring. I thought we were going to fight.
It was great. I loved it.
And I was just like, this is incredible. But it's between these two, like for some of the people that are, you know, trying to steal that next shot, and Morales, his performance, bro, I think when we saw him, when he first splashed on the screen, I think we said that this guy has the future potential being a champ, and this just made it even much more so clear.
The future is now, like, right? You know what I mean? Like,
it
is cool. I saw Ian Machado Gary talking about it this week in Qatar, where it's like, you know, now granted, I did not like the rankings that came out with Prachez ahead of Ian Machado Gary. That made no sense to me whatsoever. Obviously,
it's a weekly thing. I mean, he's got a fight right now, and he'll just flip right back over.
So I didn't like that. But but what Gary said is right. Like, it is cool to see, like, because that welterweight division. And again, I'm not trying to insult any of the guys, but it's just been those same names for a decade up at the top of the division, and now you got all these fresh names and matchups and. I will say, man, and I will say, and we'll talk about UFC Qatar in a second, too. If you watch that media day as well with Ian Machado Gary, when the name Shavkat gets brought up and you see Ian, I'm hearing so many bad things like this dude might never fight again, which is crazy.
Shavkat?
Yes.
Really?
That's what I'm hearing. And again, I'm not hearing it from his camp, but I'm hearing it from a lot of people.
Injuries?
Injuries and some personal things and some, you know, so And you hear Ian's – I think Ian's words were, I hear he might not be fighting anytime soon. And, like, that's the way I've kind of been saying it, too, because, again, they're kind of rumors more than anything. But when you keep hearing rumors, like, from different places and people, you know what I mean? It's all sharing the same thing. Like, that would be a damn shame because that's one of those names that we were all so excited about. So, you know, you got Shavkat, you got Morales, you got Prachez, you got Machado Gary. You know, and Sean Brady, I think he'll still be around. He'll still have some big fights at him.
They just got to work back to that.
Just put him way back. Yeah, he's not in the title discussion.
And the thing about Gary, and tell me if I'm wrong, he's still saying, like, I would fight Shavkat, and I think that's the difference between the other cats. Nobody's calling Shavkat's name. Nobody's asking for
that. I like Ian.
So I like that Ian Gary's doing that, you know. So, I mean, like, as much as people will say about whatever, he's going out there, he's delivering fights, and he's asking for fights that nobody wants.
Right.
I will tell you, one other name in that top 15 that doesn't want anything to do with any of these cats, as much as he might try to say, is your boy, Colby Covington. Covington does not want anything to do with Prochaska. He does not want anything to do with Michael Morales, and he certainly doesn't want anything to do with Rakhmonov, and I don't think he wants to do anything with Gary, too. And like, but that's a name. I'm like, I know he fought last year, even though it feels like he hasn't fought in like 3 years. Or this year. But, bro, Covington, he should not be on that list anymore.
It's ancient history what's happened between me and him, and I always hate to even discuss it because I – but
why are you getting on the ground and doing – are you doing push-ups right now? What are you doing? Colby, he just did 10 push-ups right now. I was trying to stop him, and he just did them.
It's funny. When I meet people or I run into people, like people will ask me, like, what's up with you and Colby? And I still have to always tell them, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I literally have no idea what happened, especially given that I had such a good relationship with him ahead of
that. I mean,
it
was all on one side.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was all like, one side.
It's one-sided.
But because of that, I always hated it. But I will say this. When I looked at my welterweight rankings this week in the latest vote, I took him out.
Yeah.
I took him out.
I took just double checked it. 15. So it wasn't. He didn't even fight this year.
Yeah.
He fought in December of 2024, and he's on a 2-fight losing streak. He's last 1, 2, 3, 4 out of his last 6 fights.
And the wins are over 2 guys that are retired in Jorge Masvidal and Tyron Woodley. And again, not disrespect. Yep. I mean, those were quality wins, of course. They
at the
are
time,
quality
they
opponents.
Were, at those times, yes, it
but,
certainly
but
was.
But you're talking about 2020 and 2022, and both of them are retired at this point. So I took him out of my top 15. I don't know.
We saw what happened to Leon Edwards. He lost to Leon Edwards. And we saw what happened to Joaquin Buckley. Like, bro, like, he doesn't want anything to do with those top guys. As much as he might say it because he's going to get paid and he has enough name value right now. But that right there is a name that, you know, if he's not active, just drop him out of the rankings. Because he doesn't want to fight those guys, and he needs to fight those guys to stay relevant. But, yeah, at this point, if you haven't fought in a year, you shouldn't be in the top 15, not when you have 2 losses, when you look at the dudes that are in
especially
the top
15. Especially with a division that does have fresh names, that is moving, that is, you know, if it, heavyweight, you might be able to make an excuse because there's just not very many of them, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of talent in that division, so... anyway, interesting times at 170 pounds. We'll see how it all shakes out. Obviously, we'll figure out more about that, and we'll talk about UFC Qatar in just a moment. Between then and now,
Cutter.
Did you get? I say Qatar. Is it? But some people
but
say Cutter.
It's supposed to be Cutter.
Yeah,
because like, and we're not. That's the English. I guess what I've heard is the best English way of saying. But Cutter. It's like a Gutter. Is like Gutter is like the proper, like, or even more so. But I think they'll take Cutter, but it's not Cater. At all. Like, it's more... That's why when somebody was joking, they're like, oh, hey, they missed the boat when they didn't put, Calvin Kattar in Kattar. I'm like, it's not Kattar. Like, even if you just try to do pronunciation.
Calvin,
yeah, I want to say...
Kattar and Cutter?
Because it's the pronunciation is not from our vocal sort of system.
Sounds
it's more like a...
We're
like
not
a
used
guttural,
to like some
yes.
like Russian things. They don't really have like an exact
but I think
translation.
They would appreciate Kattar or whatever, but I want to say it's more like Gutter.
Sounds like everybody's having a good time over there, right? Everybody's enjoying it. And seeing
oh, you're talking about Oscar Willis? Oh, yeah, of course he is. No, I'm just kidding.
Oscar's having some cocktails, I'm sure. No, I just basically like every, you know, I guess, because I did watch the media day and everybody was being asked about it, of course. And
supposedly
of course
just beautiful
and
incredible
thing,
over there, and they're being, like, the people there are treating them, like, extremely well. Yeah. They're giving fighters the utmost respect. So, no, I haven't heard or seen anything of fighters saying, like, this is a pain in the butt. You know, it's a hell of a bit of travel, you know. I mean, like, any of those fights over there, it takes so much time. But most of the guys that are on there have done the right thing, it seems, and went out early, got acclimated, and that's going to make all the difference. I think anybody that just showed up on Tuesday is probably going to have a little bit more of an issue, but, you know.
Well, what if they show up today or tomorrow morning? Like Waldo Cortez
like
Acosta.
Waldo's a different beast.
What a stud, right?
Dude. And he even said, like, I think the last time, he's like, you know, take a short notice, but he's like, no, my next fight, I need it to be a full fight camp. And it's like,
I can just jump on a plane in like 30 minutes notice and fly halfway around the world.
What a stud.
I love it.
What a stud. I mean.
Tough fight.
Yeah.
Tough fight. I mean, tough matchup. Tough matchup just stylistically, even with the full camp, it's a tough matchup. But you know what, man? I respect the hell out of it. You know what I mean? You know the UFC is going to appreciate it. Again, we just kind of touched on it. It's not like heavyweight's so deep that if you take a loss, you're way back in the pack or whatever. But, you know, no risk, no reward. If you step in here and you get a win, like, oh, my gosh, to the moon. You know what I mean? It's amazing. So, I don't know. I respect the hell of him for doing it. I don't know if I'm if I'd pick him or not. But
I did actually take him. I was taking Gaziev against Spivak. But, man, I'm gonna ride the high, that, you know, because I did not pick him against Dillia.
Right.
I thought Dillia was just going to just have his way with him, and then he showed so much heart, so much character. So as long as his eye is legit okay, now I feel like I think the adrenaline and just him riding this momentum is just going to give him an extra boost going into a place that he wasn't supposed to be, I think, just rising to that occasion. This is a cat that I think has every capability of doing it. I mean, as long as it doesn't become just like this grind out wrestling thing, and what we saw him last time, like, he's able to get up a little bit, you know, but I think he's just going to show some power. But it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. But
now, are you picking him because your lead is so large that you don't worry about that you worry?
I still do worry. I still do worry. And it's kind of interesting, because I was taking, you know, his opponent before this fight switched up. But I mean, you take and you sub in the hot hand guy right now that seems to be just firing on all cylinders. It would be silly just to stick with my other pick and think that the short notice fight, because he performed well in the short notice fight. The main thing I'd be worried about is just the travel and other stuff, but he's not cutting.
Right.
He's not cutting any crazy amount of weight, so he just literally needs to be refreshed and he needs to just get acclimated. He's going to be fighting at a weird time in the night, you know, so there's always that, you know. That is something where I think it does take some time. If there is an acclimation, it is that, because we've heard guys before getting up in the middle of the night and starting to train and do things to, you know, do that. But at the end of the day, it's a fist fight. Your adrenaline gets pumping. So whether he's been waking up for three nights or four nights as opposed to maybe one night or whatever, I think his adrenaline's going to kick in there, and the gravity of how big this situation is and what he's able to do for his name. I mean, fighting one back in the rankings, but jumping in short notice, and the fact that the UFC is looking at him and saying, can you come in here and save this fight? It goes good for him, because I think if anything, next thing you know, it's like you did us a square. Next thing you know, Apex headliner, you know, blah, blah, boom. Thank you very much, you know. And I think that's the stuff he's envisioning in his mind, you know. So, and this is a fight. Should it not go his way, I don't think he loses ground. Like you said, it's not like he's going to drop a lot, but in the eyes of the people that matter, which is the UFC, they're thanking him for this. This is a no loss situation for him.
It's a bad comparison because he's still on an upward trajectory now. But I always think about, like, Andre Arlovsky late in his career, right? Like, Andre took so many matchups that were not favorable matchups, that were not, you know what I mean, that they were under bad circumstances, but he never said no. And because of that, obviously Andre had some name value as a former champion. People knew him.
Yep.
But bottom line is, he was a dude that would show up and fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, whatever you need us to do. And because of that, he got paid very, very well for a very, very long time. You know what I mean? And so Waldo Cortez Acosta is still on the rise right now. But, I mean, as you said, the people that matter, the UFC matchmakers, you know, Hunter, Dana, those guys, if you're doing solids for them, like, and I know everybody likes to criticize the UFC, and I get it. It's not like they're perfect in their business operations, but when you do them stuff like that, like, you do find yourself all of a sudden getting some nice favors on the backside as well, because they know you're a company guy, man. We can count on you. You know what I mean? Because it's hard. Dude, and I mean, I'm doing it on a much more minuscule level, but keeping cards together is hard. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Injuries happen all the time, and you need to have fights. And, you know, then you start calling people on short notice, and everybody's, nah, I'm not available, you know, blah, blah.
Yep.
So when a guy's like, I got to get to the airport right now. You know, I got to pack my bags so make sure I got at least an hour, and then I'm on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that does a lot, man. Yep. That does a lot.
And I mean, he's doing it. His fighting's doing the talking, and he's doing the talking. The fact, like, the last time we saw him, his English had got to the point where we pretty much did the interview in English. I was like, he's literally doing everything to set himself up to just go higher and higher and higher in the rankings and higher in the fan favor. And I think going in there and putting another fun fight on this and saving the fight, the fans are going to appreciate it. And if he's able to go in there and take this win in enemy territory and put on a big show, like, bro, I guarantee his next fight will be a headline at, like, the Apex, unless there's just another pay-per-view somewhere close where he wants to fight.
Right.
But I think he's going to be on well, I guess pay-per-views are done. He's not going to be on. He'll be, but he'll be on a feature show somewhere.
It's going to take a while to get that out of my vocabulary because I've said that a couple times too, where I've said something, you know, and people are like, I thought there were no pay-per-views anymore. I'm like, sorry.
I don't know what we call them.
It's numbered events now is the terminology you're supposed to use. The numbered events. It's going to
take
a while.
They're all numbered. This is UFC Fight Night 265, I think, if I are numbering, you know. But, yeah, I mean, like, they're big tent pole events or something, you know. Yep. So it'll be interesting. It's funny. We were talking about offline before we started about different AI tools, and I was, like, trying to just ask random AI stuff, and this is completely out of left field. As much as people are excited talking about the White House card, I was trying to ask if there was negative. What is there negative connotations outside? Are the general population upset that the UFC that the White House is trying to put on a UFC event? And a lot of the results came back is that there is general negativity outside of the hardcore fans of MMA and fighters. Nobody's happy that this is happening at the White House. They just see it as another
waste of money.
I can see other stuff. You know,
I could see that of like because okay.
I know Dana's like we're going to spend all this money to replace the lawn after we did destroy the lawn. But in terms of like, there's not supposed to be like tickets sold or whatever kind of stuff because it's like all right. These are the same people that crap on the Apex cards, and now it's going to be at another place and with this backdrop that you can't see. Granted, the backdrops are going to be a lot different.
Backdrop's going to be amazing.
But that being said, the cost of all the extra security and stuff at the White House and everything that they're going to do, it's going to be a huge cost that's going to get pushed off, not onto the UFC, but on the general population. And I think that's where some people, like, at a time when all this stuff's going on. And we're so in the bubble that I was just like, think about it. I was like, will I work? And I was like, but I was like, whatever. So, yeah, I know that's out of left field, but it was just one of those things because we haven't really talked about the actual other – what do people outside of us?
I hadn't thought about that, but you're so right about it. Because now, I guess it should be stated, and again, you know me and knowing what the government policy is, I don't know. But it is part of a bigger – the 250th celebration, right? So it's not like
– even though it's on his birthday, not on the actual 250th celebration.
So it's not just –
it's adjacent. It's 250th celebration adjacent.
There's going to be other – big events and big things, right? So it's not just they settling. But that is a fair criticism, right? Of just like if somebody wanted to sit back and be like, you know, is this really the best use of government funds right now, given everything that's happening in the world? Like, I mean, I'm excited to go and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sort of stuff.
It's funny because I haven't asked my family. Have you asked you, like, have you talked to like your mom or any of them? See, we're so in the bubble.
Yeah.
We just talk to other media people, and we're just like, oh, would you work it? Are you trying to work it?
Yep.
Who's going to be on the card? Who's whatever?
Yep.
I never thought to ask my family, what do you guys think about it? And that usually gives me the general barometer. And I think the next time I talk with my mom and them, if they know, I'm like, hey, have you heard about this talk? Like, what do you guys think? You know, just to see what they think. But I'd be interesting, anybody listen to this that are – you guys are obviously hardcores. You're inside the bubble. But do you have random people off the side? What do they think about it? You know, because I'm interested.
And I would say to clarify that, like, I know there's a lot of people that will say they don't like it simply because they don't like Trump. I think we're separating ourselves from that and saying, dissociate anything to do with the actual man, Donald Trump. Are you upset that the U.S. government is spending tax dollar money on? Because the UFC is getting money.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the UFC is, you know, it's not like the UFC is like, hey, you know what? We want to do this event so bad. We don't need a site fee. We don't need any promotional considerations. Yep. It's all coming out of our pocket. We'll handle all this. You just tell us how much it costs.
Yeah.
No.
This is
they're getting money.
This is not like a team showing up to celebrate their victory and they're getting served McDonald's in the whatever room. I say McDonald's because they used to have meals or whatever. But that's different. For somebody says like, if anybody tries to say, oh, well, it's just like when they have a sports team and they win their championships, come there, you know, they're opening their doors to sports teams. This is not the same thing.
Not the same.
That would be like saying, hey, you know, Raiders, you want to instead of playing the Browns here in town next week, how about we just set up on the White House lawn and play a game there? It's not the same thing.
It's not the same.
So
it's interesting.
It's definitely catering to a private organization, to a sporting organization in a building that's kind of always been exalted as our capital of our government.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, regardless of all what's happened. But, yeah, it's just It's very, very interesting. So I know a lot of other people think it's just like a waste of government resources at a time when we shouldn't be doing it. But we're so in the bubble. We're like, well, are we going to work it or not? I want to work that event.
I want to be there. I want to be there. I'll tell you right now, I want to be there. We'll see, I guess. We don't even know what kind of media they're going to allow, right? Yeah. And we don't know, you know, kind of what that's going to look like.
But. I mean, you couldn't get a pre-check for a while. You know, they might just nip you right in the bud.
Is it true that you got turned down for pre-check? Like,
yeah. You're like, that was like 10
that's
years
a long
ago.
Time
that was a long time.
That was a long time ago. I got it now. Yeah. I got it now. I'm a change man. I'm a change man.
You're a reformed man.
I'm a reformed man. Well, we will monitor that over there. I really do. I am really interested in just seeing all the developments of 2026 and, like, you know, how do things look on, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and we'll have to patiently wait for it to play out, but how do things look on Paramount?
How does,
you know, does that change the way cards are constructed? Like, do you want to spread the talent out a little bit? You know, as stacked as that card was at Madison Square Garden the other night, do you need a card to be that stacked if you're not trying to sell pay-per-views?
Yep.
I don't know. I was talking to Eric McMahon about this. Like, does it change at all? Because a lot of times when we talk about title fights, right, we all know that title fights are not just merit-based in the UFC, right? But for the longest time, they were like, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, maybe deserves it, but I don't know how they'll sell on pay-per-view, so I don't want to give them that title shot. You know, now does it make it easier for a guy, like, say, like a guy like Mosar Evloev or whatever, that it doesn't really move the needle, but how do you argue that he doesn't deserve a title shot? Does it make it easier for him to get a title shot now?
Because you don't have to sell it.
Because you still want people to tune in. Yep. You still need numbers, so it's not totally – because I've seen that thing a lot where people are like, oh, well, they don't even have to sell pay-per-views anymore, so why do they care what the cards look like? You still need to get viewership. Like, you still want people to tune in, but does it make it easier for certain individuals like that don't move? So anyway, there's a lot of stuff to follow next year.
It's going to be interesting to see.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody's wondering if fighters are going to get paid more. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're going to change the roster size much because it's just a matter of events.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, you know, we've talked about that over the years, you know, the formula of how many fights that you need just to get a roster. So it's not like we have a huge extra bunch of money. Now we could start, you know, bringing on extra people. I mean, it's going to be interesting because we know that the people at the top, you know, the guys that run TKO and stuff are going to take a bigger chunk of that money as well. But it'll be interesting to see how things change. So, 2026, I mean, like, as anything, I think all of us that are diehard, we need the sport to survive. We want the sport to thrive. We want the fighters to thrive. We want everything to thrive. So I don't mind when the UFC thrives, but it'll be interesting to see how things look and things change. Are they going to change the whole broadcast package? You know, they've done that in the past when they went to new things. Yeah. So the look, the opens, the entries, everything can be completely different. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like NFL's got like singers coming in and being part of their open. I wouldn't be surprised if they completely change the open to something that's brand new to start the whole era, you know, the Paramount era differently, you know, so that it creates its own iconic sort of like feel that makes it uniquely them. So it's kind of exciting, you know, for those of us that have been watching it for so long, it'd be interesting to see, you know, because I think the UFC always tries to, we've seen it with the Ultimate Fighter and everything, they were always trying to, they didn't want to settle, which is what had been the status quo. They always wanted to step it up and do something different. So I'm interested to see what that means for January, like what changes are going to happen, even with just the broadcast product that we're used to seeing.
I am too. It's just fun stuff to see. You know, you talk about the pay. We know that the champions are going to get higher guarantees because there's no more pay-per-view sharing.
There's no more pay-per-view.
So I think a lot of people believe that's a positive. I mean, if you think about it, if you're depending on how far you go in this sport, that was the whole thing Randy Couture argued about for years and years. He's like, I don't want to participate on the backside of revenue. I want you to just tell me a number that you're paying me, and that's the number I get. You know what I mean? And their argument was, that's not how we do business. We want you to be financially incentivized to help sell this thing with us, and if you do, you'll get rewarded. So if you think about it, I mean, that was a dispute that Randy Couture had way back in the day. Now that's resolved. So I'm interested in that. You've heard Dana say that, you know, the bonuses will be more because we're bringing in more revenue. So that's a very good thing. I've seen, and I think Danny Rubenstein is probably one of the guys that's posted, I think, the most. But, I mean, this is not like a novel concept, but I really do think, especially if they're saying that we're reviewing financial packages, but the idea of a finish bonus, it just anybody on the card that gets a finish, you know, and I'm not saying it's got to be 50 grand, but just something. And again, maybe the bonuses stay 50 grand, but we add in $10,000 per finish, or even if it's $5,000 per finish, like just something perfect to keep incentivizing, because that's what fans want to see, right? Not that you can't have great fights that end in a decision, but people want to see the knockouts. They want to see the submissions and maybe a little bit more money just to push you so that you don't take it easy on, you know, when you're cruising on the cards or whatever the case may be. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that, man. I mean, that reward what people want
to
see.
I know the UFC probably is trying to get that as a sponsor thing, you know, and then just be able to cover it if they don't get a sponsor for it. But yeah, if you figure if it's a sponsored by, say, if it's even $5, $5,000 a finish, say there's 12 fights, that's $60,000. But to get a sponsor to own up to $60,000 for an event, it's quite a buy. That's a big buy unless you're like a decent sized thing. But it's the kind of thing, if you get somebody every once in a while to do it, you know, maybe they'll kick in or find somebody that'll give $25,000 and the UFC covers $2,500 and then it comes to the $5,000 bonus. I mean, I think there's definitely ways, but yeah, I mean, I think people, if you want fighters to, you know, they've always kind of said that all these bonuses, that's been the incentive to make them want to go above and beyond and make theirs the best one. If we give them one for every just sort of finish, do they still give that same sort of like effort, knowing that they need to be the best of the night? You know, they call it the performance of the night. They don't call it one of the performances of the night, you know, type thing. Like, so I can see where they're trying to, they need to some sort of differentiate between the two of them. They don't want to lessen one, but still, there's money to be given around, you know, and if you know that even as a fighter, you can get something just by finishing your night, I'd almost be more opposed to just, you know, or just open to give a finish bonus and just get one performance of the night bonus and just give bonuses for everybody if they get a finish on their night.
Maybe just a fight of the night bonus so that one guy that loses but still has an incredible effort.
Yeah, fight of the night.
You know what I mean?
And
maybe
then just a the outstanding night performance of the night. So two bonuses like that and everybody else gets a finish bonus or whatever.
It'd be cool.
It'd be nice.
This weekend, UFC Qatar starts at 7 a.m. Pacific time. I love fights
that's
in the morning.
Early.
It's really early.
I didn't realize it was that early.
More like 8, 9 a.m. is a little bit better, but 7 a.m.
I thought somebody said like 10. I love 10 a.m. fights, but 7 a.m. is not the worst. It's not like we're waking up or whatever.
I hope that sometime during the course of the Paramount relationship, they become comfortable with events being
local
like,
time.
Again, like college. Yeah. Like I said, to me, like college football, like during the day, you know what I mean? From what I've heard is that the numbered events, no longer the pay-per-view events, are probably going to stay where they are time-wise, because don't forget, there are still pay-per-views in other markets, right? Like I believe Canada is still a pay-per-view market. I can't remember the one, but there's a handful of the pay-per-view markets that are still out there.
Yeah.
And the UFC knows that when they change times, it impacts their buys in those markets because people are so dialed into it being that time. But dude, I would love it. And I guess the other challenge with daytime events comes to like selling out a big arena. Like it's tough to sell out a big arena. But if it's like an Apex show, man, let's start that bad boy at like 10 a.m. in the morning. You know what I mean? Let's have the 10 a.m. in the morning for the prelims, 1 p.m. for the main card, and then we're out of here. You know, we're out of the Apex at like 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 7 p.m. Eastern. It's like college football. You can watch a game during the day, and then you can still have your Saturday night and go out and do whatever. Now, again, if it's in an arena and they're on the road, I don't think they'll do that because people aren't used to, you know, don't go out on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. But if you're just trying to fill up the Apex, like, let's go. Daytime shows.
Let's go.
So this one starts at 7 a.m. Pacific. I will say, all the lead up to this one, I mean, of course, everybody's talking about the main event, Armand Sarukian, Dan Hooker. Of course, everybody's talking about Bilal Muhammad and Ian Machado Gary. I think those are the top.
Almost maybe more so, you know, which is kind of crazy.
Maybe more so. So those are the two fights, and I do want to get your thoughts on them in a second. But I just want to say real quick, this prelim card to me, and honestly, I think the whole card is more interesting than people are maybe giving it credit for. I just think there's a lot of recognizable names, a lot of fun names. I know there's a lot of newcomers that people probably aren't familiar with, but I think these prelims could be full of some absolute action-packed bangers and some finishes and some great fights up and down the card. So I would recommend, you know, even if you're not familiar with all these names on the prelims, at least throw it on in the background because I think you're going to have some fun watching these fights. And then we get to the main card. We talked a lot about the heavyweight fight and the change that happened there. By the way, because I've been busy doing some CFFC stuff, has it been reported what happened to Sergey Stubiak? Because he did the media day.
Yeah,
it's not like he didn't even show up to fight week. Like he was there and he did media day and everything. But I didn't know if anything was, you haven't seen it either, what might have happened to him.
No, I haven't.
So weird. Such a weird situation. Kyoji Horiguchi is back. Great to see Kyoji Horiguchi back in the UFC. I think he's deserved to be there for quite some time. He is quite the talent. But let's go through the picks. Armand Sarukian versus Dan Hooker. I mean, how, if you're a fight fan, you love Dan Hooker. There's no question about it, right? Like, the dude is going to come to bang.
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. You're getting a fight. But stylistically, this is a pretty tough matchup.
It's a tough matchup. I mean, Hooker's all heart. He wants to stand and bang. I mean, it's not like he's a slouch on the ground, but when it comes to just like the overall just top control and just the control of Sarukian, Sarukian's the guy that nobody wants to fight.
Right.
You know, so it's a tough matchup. Yeah. But I love the fact that Hooker doesn't give a fuck about it.
That's great.
He's just he's one of a kind. I mean, he's taken over that cowboy mantle, I think, for that. It's like, you need a guy to just get in here and fight somebody, I'll do it. Yep. I feel like he's inherited that role. Because this is the fight that a lot of other people don't want to take that fight. But I did lean Sarukian on this one.
I'm taking Sarukian there. Yeah. It's just have to be honest. As much as you love Dan Hooker, as far, did you see?
I would not be sad if Dan Hooker pulls something out by any means.
He's such a fun fighter. And look, you know he's going to scrap, and you know he's not the kind that's going to mentally break.
So. He's going to get bloodied up in this one. Both of them are going to just bang on this one. So nobody's going to be leaving with a pretty face on this one.
If people didn't see it, Dan Hooker, when they were asking about the rankings, they're like, "Oh, what are we?" He's like, "Well, just see Patty Pimblett's top five," and he just started cracking up. Like, I was like, "That's
Did
just
he?
Like,
I didn't, I didn't."
Oh yeah, he just started laughing. Like, Patty Pimblett's top five. Like, he just started cracking up. Yeah. I'm like, "That's so right."
Patty's talked himself up quite a bit, and I think he's just beloved by the
he is.
You know,
but
the
he is good. But
guys.
Patty's good.
He's a good fighter. Like, 100%.
I think if people wanted to pass him off as just
a mouthpiece,
just a mouth, and he's not. You know what I mean? He's good, but it was kind of like that's. That's that kind of Dan Hooker trash talk where it's like, it's not even trash talk, but just the fact that you're cracking up. Like, you know what I mean? It was pretty good. But I'm taking Armand Sarukin there as well. Bilal Muhammad, Yemishato Gary, big, big matchup in the welterweight division. Obviously, a lot's been happening at welterweight. Yemishato Gary, I said it earlier, I'm a fan. You know, I feel like he gets an unfair rap.
Yep.
I feel like another one that people just try to say, A, he's a mouthpiece, he just talks. B, they don't like the way he talks. You know, I mean, he is very confident, brash. You know, obviously people get into his personal life and his family and all that, which is, you know, weird why people care about that. But and then you have Bilal Muhammad kind of, I think, obviously under-respected and disrespected, I guess, in many ways. Yep. But certainly a talent as well. This is tough, man. This, to me, I was to be honest, man, I was a little bit surprised to see the odds on this one.
So was I.
Because I thought this was, to me, in my head, this is, I don't want to say a pick'em. I'd probably favor Ian Machado Gary a little bit just because of the size and the speed.
But you'd think it would be closer to a pick'em.
Yes.
Than,
Ian's a huge favorite.
Yeah. And I mean, his last performance, number one, he beat Prochaska when he was starting, you know, those guys' hype was going through the roof. But I think Bilal, that last performance, really sort of hurt him.
Yeah,
I think he just lost that invincibility. That's just sort of like, people are like, oh, the guy's just, he's going to run through people, he's going to be the champ that we thought he was going to be, and then he got beat by a guy that just looked better on his feet, and then he just couldn't get him, take him down. It was just like, okay, well, wow, he's not the guy that we thought he was. He obviously is that guy. He just had a bad night, you know. But in this particular case, man, Gary, that last time I saw Gary, I was just like, man, I got to stop doubting this kid. Yep. You know, he's going against these guys. I think they're going to be too much. And he showed he had good skills to be able to get up if someone gets him down. But just his speed on his feet and his creativity, I really appreciate and enjoy what he does when he's on his feet. He just seems to see the game at a different speed, you know. So I've stopped doubting him on that, and I think that this is the ones, and especially Bilal, even though Ian's like, I don't believe him, when Bilal's like, I'm going to stand and strike, I'm going to knock him out or whatever, like, he's like, bro, I know you're not going to do that. But if it did, I give that just even more so why I would lean in Ian's, you know, favor, because when it comes to just the sharpness and just in having the tool standing, I think I hate when I say levels above, but he's a step above.
Yep, step above.
A step above Bilal, you know. So if a Bilal's coming out there saying, like, oh, I'm not even going to try to do what I should, even though people said the same thing about Islam in Islam's last fight, you know, against JDM, like, oh, you know, is he going to stand and bang? He's clearly got good hands, but he said, screw this. I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to win this. And if it looks boring and it's dominating, I don't care.
Yep.
You know, and that's what Bilal needs to do in this one. Completely and just say, agree. I don't care that it looks boring. I don't need to stand and bang. I may just do what got me to the title, you know? But if he's like, oh, he wants to show his hands and he's in love with his hands and he gets that, that's even more so why I would stick with Gary. But, yeah, I went with Gary on this one.
I get it. And so there's two things. So and you're spot on with that. Like I wonder if there's two things that Bilal said that I thought were interesting. One was Bilal, again, was saying like the same thing. Like you said before, I'm going to stand and trade and I can beat him on the feet. And I was like, oh, I don't know. The other thing I thought was really interesting, I don't know if you saw this, twice during his media day, he was asked directly if he would fight Islam Makhachev. And both times, he said the only fight I'm worried about right now is Ian Gary, right? And so it made me think, is he changing his mind? Because before it was like, I'll never fight that team. They've done too much for me. Like, I'll never fight him. Has he changed his mind realizing that, like, well, maybe our paths are just going to have to cross because that's the way it is? Or is that just smart because you know Dana White and the UFC don't want to hear you as a top contender say, yeah, I'm not fighting the champion.
I'm not fight the champ.
Right? So I was like, I wonder if he's really changing his mind. Because again, now he didn't say, yes, I would, but he also didn't come out and vehemently say, absolutely, I would not. So I wondered if A, he's changing and he might, or B, he just knows it is not in my best interest to sit up here and say, I'm absolutely not willing to fight the champion.
Yep.
You know?
I agree with that. And I think it's just at this point, you know, like, I think that, you know, if they're not bestest of buds, you know, at some point, it's just say, like, you know, if you want to be the champ, you got to be willing to say, I'm going to fight the champ. And at this point, who knows what Makhachev's long-term plans are. Mm-hmm. He could be trying to plan for his next going up event.
True.
You know, so, I mean, like, who knows? But, yeah, I mean, that would be interesting because, you know, but we said the same thing going in that fight. If people thought that JDM going in Islam was the same fight that they saw with Bilal, clearly that was not the case.
That was not the same.
That was clearly not the case. I mean, Islam looked amazing. That was just the perfect performance. But that's the kind of stuff that anybody right there, I could see where I would be thinking about other things than fighting that guy at that top. But
that was amazing, man. That performance was amazing. The Islam fight, it was funny because the Islam fight, everybody I talked to was like, Jack Della, Jack Della. I was like, yep. I don't know. Like, it's
he's
still
bigger,
Islam.
He's stronger.
And I was like, but it's Islam, you know? And so he went out and did that, and I was like, okay, good. I'm not crazy. But Valentino over Zhang Weili, yeah, I did not see that for a second, man. I was like, that one shocked me. I just did not see that performance.
I thought that I had picked her going into it, and I felt that she had – I was thinking that the strength would maybe be there, but we've seen – you know, Wiley just be so incredibly strong, but that's Valentina's real weight,
crazy,
man. And she's just big and she's dominant. And she's so focused. I think that, you know, the loss that she took to Alexa just changed things. I think she needed that to just sort of just like snap out and be like, okay, was I complacent in something? Yeah. Was there something that I wasn't paying 110%?
Because after 30 plus years as a martial artist, you might get a little complacent from time to time.
Well, you just used to being that good, you know. You know, you often wonder because they say, you know, are you still hungry? Are you still grinding? Are you still like the young lion that's trying to whatever? And seeing her now after that, it's just amazing. But to think that it would be like Wiley just what I wouldn't say that she wasn't in the fight, but she just didn't feel like she had shown up. She didn't look
and to me
like a fraction of her former self.
Looked almost shell-shocked in between rounds, you know what I mean? Like just like
she felt the power and then just dominant. When she got on the ground, it was just like, where is it? Where is it? You know, but watching, I was like, holy cow, this is going to be five rounds of this or whatever. But I was like, Valentina, man.
Amazing.
Amazing performance.
It's funny because, you know, I see people start to talk about her and Kayla Harrison potentially. Obviously, it sounds like it's going to be Kayla and Amanda Nunes in January is what we're hearing. And obviously, Kayla would have to beat Amanda Nunes at that point. I guess you could do Amanda and Valentina again if Amanda won and wanted to keep fighting. I don't know if Amanda's coming back as a one-off or she's coming back as like a run. I don't know. But if Kayla were to beat Amanda, Kayla and Valentina, I mean, I'm probably like – driver number one on the Kayla Harrison bandwagon. Like, I've just been such a
with
fan of her from day one. You know what
she's
I mean?
She's such a badass.
She's such a badass. Her personality, her all of it, the whole package. So I might be looking at it from a fanboy perspective, but I feel like Kayla would just be way too big for Valentina.
100%.
Okay. So I'm not crazy, right?
No. I mean, I'm not picking anybody against Kayla at this point now.
Either.
Not even Amanda. I think Amanda's amazing, but Amanda stepped away at the game at the right point. I think come back, get some money in that pocket. I don't think it's going to go away because Kayla's not stupid enough to just try to stay standing all day. Mm-hmm. She's going to do what she does, and she don't give two shits about it. Like,
right.
I'm going to get you down. I'm going to dominate you, and I'm going to submit you in some particular fashion, or I'm going to just ground and pound you. She's just so impressive. It's like what Islam does. Could Islam had positioned himself into a position where he could have just kept doing more strikes and more strikes, or just grind you the F out and eventually take your back or something. Kayla's just so strong. She's so big. She's so dominating. And she's, I mean, she's a freaking Olympic gold medalist for a reason, dude.
Twice.
You know, just one.
Not just one.
Yeah, so and I'm not picking anybody against Kayla right now until, you know, at time, sometime in the distant future, old man time will show up.
Right.
Just like it comes to everybody, but sure, that is not her time right now, right? She is still in peak physical form. Same thing with Cyborg. It's the same thing that happened to Cyborg. Cyborg was just too big and too strong for everybody, and she still has moments of greatness, but, you know, at the end of the day, Cyborg's not what she used to be. And
right,
it's just, you know, old man time shows up eventually, but Kayla's a dog. But yeah, Kayla and Valentina would be fun if it stayed on the feet, and Valentina was able to kind of dance around and get some strikes. It'd be interesting to see her sort of hurt. I think she would hurt Kayla if it stands on the feet, but Kayla's got some power, but Kayla will get her down.
I would think, even though, and I'm with you, I would pick Kayla. There's nobody I pick against Kayla right now.
Yep.
Nobody. But I would probably, if you're like, okay, well, you know, you have to pick one. You have to either pick Amanda or Valentina. You're not allowed to pick Kayla twice. I'd probably pick Amanda just because she has that one shot, right? Like,
yep.
Valentina could absolutely, like, completely outstrike her.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would knock her out. Like, I think she would just, you know, pepper her over.
And I think Valentina's got the skills to make it to where she'll take it to a decision.
Yeah.
You know, she has the skills to make it to where it's a fight, you know, and she won't get finished. You know,
right,
she could fight that stuff, but she could still clearly get dominated for five rounds,
yep,
or whatever. But
Amanda,
yeah,
can clip you with one shot.
Yep.
With one shot. So,
yep.
Well, that'll all play out in 2026. I guess we'll round out the picks real quick. Jack Hermanson, or excuse me, I skipped over Volkan Oezdemir, Alonzo Menifield.
I went Oezdemir.
It's a tough one. I mean,
it is tough.
I have a hard time reading Alonzo. Sometimes he looks like amazing, and sometimes I'm like, are you going to throw a punch today, or what are we doing here?
And he's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got great power. Yeah. I just think if he could get in there and hurt him and show that speed. And I just feel like, I think he still doubts his strength and his power.
I do too.
But maybe it's the chin. Maybe he's afraid that if he gets caught on the chin that he can be dropped. And so he doesn't want to just go guns blazing. But I figured if he went guns blazing, I think he would finish a lot more dudes quicker.
Too.
But I think I think the seasoned vet, Oezdemir, who has power in his hands as well, I think he's just going to be smart, and I think he's gonna.
Yeah,
I think he'll wear him down.
I like your read on that one. Jack Hermanson makes the move down to welterweight and gets Miktavek Oralbay in his debut, which is like, I don't want to say I'm surprised Jack took this fight, but like,
yeah,
there's no name value whatsoever in beating Miktavek Oralbay, and that dude is good.
Yes,
you know what I mean. So to be moving down to a division and drawing this, I mean, not that there's any easy fight in the UFC, but I was like, ooh, this is a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 years age difference, and let's see.
That's not good.
Jack is the taller dude. He's listed at 6'1". Miktavek, man, 5'8 doesn't – or 5'10 doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right either.
It doesn't sound right. I would assume he's taller than me, and that doesn't make any sense. But he's so good. He's so good. I think that this kid has the capability of – if he has the right fights ahead of him, I think he could put himself in contention to get a title. I'm that confident, and he's that good. But yeah, I went with Oralbay on this one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't blame you on that one. Even though he's kind of moving up a little bit, it's against a guy that's moving down. I just feel like he packs more power, and he's just a dog. Interesting fight. I'm intrigued by that one. And
it
then
we
talked about that. We fight Tagir Ulunbekov, Kyoji Horiguchi. That's a tough one too, right? Because Horiguchi hasn't been in the UFC. Ulunbekov is one of those guys that's like really good, kind of underrated, not underrespected sometimes too.
And I think he's going to get the boost over in that region. But Horiguchi is used to fighting all over the world. I think he's just a veteran. I think he shows up in fights that people think he's not going to win, and he wins. And so I picked that
Horiguchi
was going to do that.
I like
one,
it.
But yeah.
I think I'd take the same. Even though that's a tough matchup.
I just think he's such a fucking – I love that dude. He's just such a good fighter. You know it's always going to be fun. Like, the kid just bangs, man.
Yep.
I feel like we've watched him for so many years through so many different promotions, and the one constant thing is that you always know what you're going to get with one of his fights. And if Tagir tries to even sort of like make it a grindy, slow fight, Kyoji's going to separate, and he's just going to fucking smash. But who knows?
I hated seeing Horiguchi leave the UFC, but I know he got paid really well over in Japan, and so that was
and good
you know,
for
better for him.
And he's back.
And
he's back where he belonged, you know. So
he's back, so. All right, listen, I got to run. I've got some appointments I got to get to, but definitely we'll be watching this weekend, and I think it's going to be a fun one. So even if maybe you didn't think that you cared too much about this card, I think you should tune in and
watch. Yeah,
it's a
good card, man.
I think it's actually
a good card.
I think it's going to be pretty exciting, and we'll certainly get together next week. I believe you're off for a little family vacation next week, right?
Yeah, so we'll sneak out to the old Nashville area and see my mom and my brother, and I get to have an excuse to go drink down on Nashville because I get in there midweek, and my brother, he's like, I messed up my day, so he's like you could just Uber to the house so you could do whatever. I was like, how about I just Uber downtown and you meet me in, you know, downtown, and we have some drinks. And it's funny, he was like, why don't you come to the hospital, because he's a nurse now after he retired out of the military. He's like, why don't you come and you can get the car and I'll Uber down to meet you so you can just put all your shit in the car. And I was like, that's even better. I was like, I'm not taking a lot of stuff, but I was like, if you ask me like whether if I had the chance to just Uber back to a way out in Murfreesboro or go downtown in Nashville and carry my duffel bag and my little computer bag, I'm not scared about that. I would do that. Like, I don't care. I'd rather go enjoy Nashville. So, so we're gonna get there and start the trip home with some drinking
in
Nashville.
Then
of course gonna see mom and have some good food. But yeah, just a short little trip. You really got to do it, man. As much as the schedule, and that's the thing. You know, even that's why I appreciate you take the time off to do the things with the family, because MMA is going to be there.
Yep.
The work's going to be there.
Yep.
But your family's not always going to be there. So, yeah. So, I'm trying to be better about that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to go and eat some good food, see mom, and do some drinking in Nashville.
I love it.
I love Nashville. It. Nashville's a cool town.
It is a good town. It's a good town. Well, we'll certainly we'll do a little remote recording. We'll check in with
you. I'll sober up for it. If I'm at mom's house when we're taping, I'll be okay.
You just let me know. I don't have much going on next week, so you just let me know what kind of state you're in, and I'll try to match your energy.
Well, I wonder, too, because we normally tape on Thursday, but that would be Thanksgiving, so maybe we'll go early.
Do like Wednesday or something?
Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah.
Then I'll definitely be drinking.
You let me know. I might have to match that energy with you. My kid will be out of school, so we not like I have to go pick him up. Not like I gotta go pick him up later on or taking anything. So that might be the case.
Let's go.
Everybody, it'll be an off week for the UFC too, so we can just talk about whatever's going on. We'll recap what happened here, talk about the headlines and whatever else might come up. We'll talk about the holidays. So anyway, everybody, enjoy the card and thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.